A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. No one is greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. We celebrate today the Feast of St. Matthias, and our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles talks about the deeply trusting way in which the disciples chose a replacement for Judas and the importance of that decision, that they were very much placing their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. We have in our gospel text really the regular reading that we would have for this time in the Easter season. And it also invites us in its own way to place a profound trust in our Lord Jesus Christ and, of course, also in his Holy Spirit. Several incredibly remarkable things are said in this gospel text. Perhaps at this point in the Easter season, we are becoming a little tired of the readings from the Gospel of John, or especially texts from this Last Supper discourse. But that's partly because some of what is said is so unfathomable that it is really difficult to make much comment upon them. Let us listen to a couple of the things. Jesus says, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you." Well, we know that the Father loves the Son with an infinite love, and that all that the Father is and has, he gives to the Son. And so when Jesus says this to us, he's saying, "I love you with an infinite love. And all I have and am, I want to give and share with you." That love that Christ has for us, and that God has for us in Christ, simply is beyond anything we can imagine. But then Jesus says in several different ways, as he has during this Last Supper discourse, "Remain in my love." It's not as if whatever we do, Jesus will no longer love us with that infinite love, but for our good, he invites us to remain, whatever that means, to remain in his love, almost like to bask in it, to rejoice in it, to embrace it, even if we can't fully grasp it, to let ourselves stand within it, and to at least be aware of this infinite love that God has, to remain in that love that Christ has for us. And that infinite love is bound to be for us joy. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy complete. To bask in someone's love, to bask in the love of Christ for us, is indeed to bask in, to embrace joy. Again, an infinite joy in many ways that we rarely experience probably in life. So much of our lives are filled with a mixture, each day perhaps with some unhappiness and disappointment and some happiness, a kind of going back and forth, even at times we'll say roller coaster. But if we can simply remain in Christ, aware of his love, we cannot help but rejoice in that joy in us. Even when Christ appears after the resurrection to the disciples and says, "Peace be with you," it's not as if he's simply saying, "Don't worry, don't be afraid, you know, I'm not just a ghost," that kind of thing. But he's almost saying, "My peace, the peace that I am, the joy that I am, let it be in you. Let it be yours. Bask in it." And what does that all come down to? That love, that joy, it comes down to friendship. God's invitation to us to be his friends. Again, so commonplace. We've heard it so often, but let's pause. It's really incredible. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. Friendship implies always a desire for reciprocity and a sense of equality. That God invites us to be his friends, to be like his equal, which we, of course, never can be. But the difference between God and us is irrelevant to God. All he desires is that response of ours whereby we accept that he has chosen us, that he has first said to us, "I love you." Then that other incredible line, "No one has greater love than this," than to give one's life for a friend. That's the kind of friendship, the kind of love that Christ offers us. Deep friendship, infinite love. And indeed, he did lay down his life for us. In its own way, it's also an invitation for us to ask to what degree in our own human relationships with one another, what degree of self-sacrifice or self-giving love are we willing to go? Would I ever lay down my life for a friend? I think as we think about it and we think about profound friendships in our lives, we would say also, yes, in some ways, it would be a privilege to give one's life for a friend. Not that we'd ever be seeking a painful death or something, but to be able to go to that extent of self-giving that God himself has gone to for us. But also, actually, that self-giving, that self-sacrifice is a facet of joy. To lay down one's life for one's friend, what greater joy might there be? It almost asks us that in the midst of the suffering, the passion, the death, the pain, the brutality that we find in the cross of Christ was there also in him at that moment, in another space within his soul, a deep joy that he was able to do this for us, indeed, to pass on in this way this sign of God's love. Greater love than this. Greater joy than this. A more profound friendship than this. In this brief text. Incredible statement. Let us today enjoy, rejoice in our basking in that infinite love and invitation to an incredible friendship. Amen.